and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City this morning. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoie, voice deity, Jim Ward. Or me, Stephanie Miller, Roseanne Barr, next hour on the Celebrity Hotline. And Hal Sparks, comedian extraordinaire, live all in hour three here on the big show. In the meantime, more of the crunchy audio goodness from the president in Cairo.
I'm a Christian. But my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims.
How, you know what that means, Chris, that it is day one, according to Sean Hannity, of dark days in America.
It is a dark day for American foreign policy after President Obama bashed his own country in remarks before a cheering audience in Egypt this morning.
No, he didn't. He didn't bash anything.
What an idiot.
Oh, you're Jim, get with the today, program. It's day one of a dark day in America.
Right. You're gonna throw your arms around him and talk to him, kiss him, hug him, give him a willy like nothing ever happened, right?
Yeah, later tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, in the meantime, Senator Susan Collins, Esmeralda, the good Senator Ghostly of Maine on the Sotomayor.
That was a comment that had troubled me, so I questioned her at length about it. The judge explained to me that she intended it to be an aspirational comment.
Uh-oh. Let's hope Esmeralda Hutt doesn't make her nomination disappear. In the meantime, as you know, I just flew here from L.A. yesterday because I always fly, Jim, right after some major air disaster.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there is breaking news on the Air France.
Yeah, we have a little bit of breaking news. Apparently, the debris that they're finding off the coast of Brazil has nothing to do with the Air France flight. It's just sea trash, they said.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, so that's kind of...
See, if my plane had gone down, that's what I would be. I'd be sea trash. That would be...
Well, you're trash anyway.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Here's the thing. I'm on the plane. You know, that's the only time I actually catch up on my show prep from 5 or 6 months ago, Chris.
I know.
So I was actually reading the accounts of the... It was like the movie Airplane, where they're watching, Airport on the plane. So I'm actually reading the actual accounts of the Air France
horrifying.
While I'm on the plane.
It's horrifying. Apparently,
Like it broke apart in the air.
Yeah. And so these people were falling. Oh, no. Oh.
I know. I can't believe I'm reading that on the plane. And then I'm looking at... There was a former royal and a star of Riverdance was on the plane.
Yeah.
And I remember a famous comedian friend of mine, I forget who, said that you should always be sure you're the most famous person on the plane. And I think, sadly, I was yesterday. It was kind of a D-list flight.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, you were in coach.
You don't want to be the person they go, oh, and also, so-and-so was on the flight. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. For instance, thank God that Tom Hartman lives in Portland, and because he's here, and thank God he was not on the same flight, because then it would be major talk star Tom Hartman. Killed in an airplane crash. Also, Stephanie Miller was there. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Could I have my butter commercial music? Guess who's in the studio with me? Tom Hartman, everybody!
Hey.
Hello! Pleased to be here.
Tom, are you intimidated? You know, Chris, you know what I did?
What?
Somebody here at our studios in New York left a Harvard neurosurgery jacket on, so I'm wearing that so as to intimidate Tom Hartman.
Hi. So this morning, Stephanie is preparing to do brain surgery on me.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord.
And
she already
still...
has the side of my head open.
That's a big job.
And I'm still drunk from the flight, by the way. Here's the thing about Coach. You know what I'm saying? You look like a bigger drunk. You know what I'm saying, Jim? Because you got to keep ordering it and paying for it, whereas they just keep it coming if you luck into business class. See, you just have to keep saying, just keep it coming. Here's the cash.
No, you got to pay for it in coach.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world, Stephanie.
Yeah, well, me too. Me too. So Tom Hartman, as I call him, Tommy.
I'm pleased to be here.
I'm the only one that calls you.
I know. No, actually, it's sweet coming from you. Nobody's called me Tommy since my mom when I was 7 years old. What can I say?
Because you make me all giggly.
That's sweet.
Now, you and I, we talked about this on the air yesterday. We're supposed to give a speech right after Rush Limbaugh wins the Freedom of Speech Award.
Yeah.
And we're
supposed to some other time.
Something.
we don't know.
Or, Chris, we may get bumped. We don't know. Because
so
we're kind of... We're like the red-haired stepchilds of radio.
Exactly.
Us progressive hosts. We may get kicked around.
Yeah.
But, they want us to do a joint speech, and we don't even know what that is.
I think I suggested it should be a bong speech instead.
Yeah.
That's the only way we're going to get through this in front of all the right-wing radio hacks.
Oh, God.
We, Yeah, Shields and Yarnell suddenly. I don't know. Although some people did request that you break dance.
Yeah.
Whatever it is we do, there's some sort of beatbox.
I would definitely break if I tried to dance.
There's no doubt about it.
Come on, throw down that piece of cardboard and spin on your back on it.
It'll be the most incongruous pairing, Chris, since Bay Buchanan and I hosted a show together. Tom will say something that he talked to Stephen Hawking about nuclear physics, and then I'll do a fart joke.
Yeah.
Wow. And you'll try the brain surgery again.
Yeah, exactly. What are we going to do?
I the freedom of speech is the theme for the entire weekend.
Yes.
And I think that we need to be talking about freedom of speech.
Wow. That's a brain trust there.
First Amendment.
I would like to say Tom and I would like the freedom to be able to afford the number of OxyContin a week that Rush Limbaugh can afford. Is that bad? I'm just spitballing here.
Freedom of speech to your housekeeper. To buy drugs,
yes.
Yes. Drugs for you.
Yeah. I may mention that you don't need to buy off-market Viagra for your sex trips with your lovely wife.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. That would be a good one.
Stephanie!
What?
Good Lord!
What?
Yeah,
don't
mention the Dominican Republic when Rush is in the room.
See, there's virtually nothing we can do. There's nothing that I've ever done on the air that we can do at this conference without getting stoned to death.
Well, that, I think with the joint speech, that's the whole point of it.
Yes. We're going to need to get stoned before, during, and after.
Get stoned.
Exactly. All right, well, we'll think of something, Tom, but it's delightful to see you as always.
Thank you. It's great to
Don't forget, here. I went to Harvard. I'm a neuro.
I know. And somebody will stitch up the side of my head after I leave. Right?
Thank you. Okay. Tom Hartman, everybody. You'll hear him right after me on many of these fine stations. Thank you, buddy.
Have a great morning.
Thank you, baby. All right. Yeah, we're here at the radio convention. We're like the leper colony, the progressive hosts. they make us sit at the kids' table.
Oh boy, in the kitchen.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news, and now here's anchor person Stephanie Miller.
Hey, you know what, Chris?
What?
I'm in sort of the treehouse studio here. I'm not sure because he told me that I have a clock that's synced up with yours, and so right now it's 73 minutes after. Just so you know,
73? No, it's 13 minutes after.
Sure.
So maybe there's an extra line at the top.
Maybe it's a European one.
I'm guessing this is not the studio Rush is going to be using later.
So is there a rope ladder to get up to the treehouse studio?
All right.
No girls allowed.
Exactly.
The He-Man Woman Haters Club.
No, I just was noticing. Oh, he fixed it now. Oh, good.
Oh,
now
good.
It's fine.
What,
okay.
Just give it a
now
little
it's 4 minutes after.
14 minutes after.
Exactly. Okay.
Did
let's
he just
move
do a little
on.
Percussive maintenance? You know, like I did with your printer?
Yeah, you just smack it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Reporters covering President Obama's speech in Cairo caught up with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She said it was a wonderful speech. He set forth a clear challenge to us all and in the world who share our hope for peace and security. Now we have to get to work to translate that concrete action. I think this leads us to another edition of our favorite series.
Good evening, Americans everywhere, and Republicans, too. Spermine, the magic salve that helps you overcome those nasty wrinkles, and Daniel Crank Popsicles, because it sucks to be you, are proud to present the latest installment of that intrepid Democratic duo, Pantsuit and Jug Ears. Or the other way around, I can never remember. Tonight's episode, Tearing Up Some Peace in the Middle East.
Oberak, your speech was wonderful. You made sense, and all your words were in the right place and pronounced correctly. It's been so long since a president did that, I can hardly remember who it was. Let's see. Oh, I know. It was my beloved helpmeet, Bill Clinton. He made a lot of speeches in the Middle East. He even got those little scamps of Palestinians and the Israelis to sit down and eat corn pone at Camp David. Well, you know what happened. The assassinated Yitzhak Rabin and old chinless Kafir himself. Yes, sir, I'm a rat. Put the kibosh in the whole can of beans. What I'm saying is, don't get your hopes up, Obi-Wan Kenobi. If the big dog himself wasn't able to put the lid on when things were about 1,000% less crazy than they are now, I wouldn't count on a Nobel Prize in the mantle anytime soon. But you keep talking pretty. You do that so well.
Help. What are you saying? Never underestimate the power of my rhetoric. I think you're blocking out what happened not so long ago, when I talked the primary panties right off you and proceeded to Reggie right out of the presidency just by flapping my gums. You just wait. When I'm done with the chin music over there, you're going to see Hasidic Jews and Fundy Muslims eating spare ribs and sauce together. Bibi Netanyahu himself is going to adopt a Palestinian baby, and it will call him Fatah. See, sounds like father.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
There will be a television series called The West Bank, and we'll all laugh at the hijinks of an Israeli president and his Palestinian advisors as they try to flummox the Syrian Congress. Can I talk this all into happening? You bet you can. You bet you can. You bet you can.
Is Hillary right that Obama's speech is nothing but a fart in a sandstorm? Can Obama clean up after the big dog? Tune in next week for the next episode of Pantsuit and Jug Ears.
Or the other way around.
We don't know. We can't remember. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
This will be professional. What time is it?
It's 6:16, Stephanie.
Okay,
and
that's
fine. Watch.
And
that's
finally...
What time it is.
You really don't have... The
there's two different times now. Okay.
Two different times?
That's a long story.
One o'clock.
It's fine. And finally,
oh boy.
We got some gay penguins in the house again, kids.
Yes, we do.
Oh, dear. Gay penguins reared.
Oh.
Come on now.
What?
An adopted chick. Two gay male penguins have hatched a chick.
That's
and are now
cute.
Rearing it.
Stephanie Louise Miller.
That is the way it reads in the science stack.
Mm.
Listen, I have a Harvard neuroscience jacket on. Don't question me.
You They're sound smarter.
Thank you. Thank you. They're now rearing it as adoptive parents as a German zoo. The zoo says the adult males, Z and Wilplunt, they were given an egg, which was rejected by its biological parents. See? It's because straight people screw up. It says the couple are now happily rearing the chick, said to have reached 4 weeks old. The zoo made headlines in 2005 over plans to test the sexual orientation of penguins with homosexual traits. Three pairs of male penguins had been seen attempting to mate with each other, trying to hatch offspring from stones. That doesn't work.
Oh, boy.
No. The zoo...
They're not that stupid. Come on.
No matter how long you try. The zoo flew in four females in a bid to get the endangered birds to reproduce, but quickly abandoned the scheme after causing outrage among gay rights activists who accused it of interfering in the animals' behavior. The six gay penguins remain at the zoo, among them Z and Wilplunt. Who are now rearing the chick together and being after being given the rejected egg. We have, I think we have the baby penguin.
Penguin, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They tell me my daddies are bad penguins who are perverting the penguin institution of mating for life. They say I'm going to be losing out on the joys and advantages of having breeder parents and now be ashamed of them. But what do they know? What would they rather have for role models? Some polar cat trash that are always getting loaded on fermented fish? Or a couple of snazzy metro penguinal daddies with fabulous style? I mean, really, it's true penguins are always going formal, but it takes some pizzazz to pull it off right, don't you think? And no one, I mean nobody, knows how to arrange an ice floe like my daddy's. We're the only penguins I know with midnight uplighting. Of course, there's a little bickering about how to regurgitate the fish. One of my daddies is always on about the Arctic Zone diet, and my other daddy likes his high-fat mackerel a little too much. But that just means I get to eat gourmet and junk food. They're the bestest daddies a penguin ever had.
Oh.
Can you get glow sticks in the South Pole?
That was so cute. That's all for Stand Up News. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Derol.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, for which
Bling.
There is a, yes, Bling, a tile ad, as they call it, as the kids are calling it, at the Stephanie Miller website. That'll be stephaniemiller.com.
I don't travel with my box, as you know.
Really?
Mm-mm.
It's detachable?
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
Yeah.
Oh, mm. All right, speaking of the gay, you know, far-right groups are saying Dick Cheney is advocating sexual anarchy now.
Anarchy? Oh, my God.
Heavens, we'll be back with that and much more as we continue. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York.
That laughter sounds like the result of misbehavior.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we did a story about the gay. You know what that means. Crazy religious right-wing Scott from Massachusetts is on the phone. Hi, Scott.
Yes, good morning, Miss Miller. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
I'd like to say that President Obama's speech, he says, it seems, appears to be encouraging on the surface, that he is...
Well, he's tricky like that, being a Muslim.
That's right. He's warning the Zionists in Israel that they have to curtail their settlements. But it's double talk, because behind it all is the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee and other powerful Jewish and Zionist groups. In other words, Mr. Obama's merely a puppet on a string, and our Zionist-occupied government calls the shots. The Jews run our nation.
Scott, the Palestinians and the Iranians didn't like the speech either, so that means he must be doing something right.
And Scott, how can you be a Zionist as well as a Muslim?
No.
He's a Muslim Zionist, Chris.
No,
try to keep up.
Sorry.
Let's not forget he has Rahm Emanuel, who's in the background.
Who's also a
fervent Zionist Jew.
Oh.
And he's his chief advisor. But what I'm saying is the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, other powerful Jewish and Zionist groups such as the Zionists of America, the Anti-Defamation League of the B'nai B'rith, Jewish War Veterans of America, let's not forget the World Jewish Congress, American Jewish Committee. The Jews wield, American Jewry wields enormous political, economic,
Jewry?
And social... Jewry, meaning Jews is a collective unit. The Jews is a collective unit in the United States.
Have
like hijacked U.S. foreign policy, and they have a stranglehold.
So why would he talk about them stopping the settlements? And how come Israel didn't like the speech then? If he's a Zionist puppet,
they didn't like the speech because they don't want to be told that their Jewish settlements have to be curtailed. They look at Obama as being a threat to them.
Right, but why would a Zionist to tell them to stop building settlements?
No, what I meant is Obama is a Muslim.
You just said he was a Zionist.
No, I said he is a puppet of a Zionist-occupied government.
Hey, Scott, FYI, he's Christian. He's not a Muslim of any kind.
With the name Hussein, he's a
Muslim.
Oh,
I see.
Yes,
all right.
With the name Hussein.
Hey, you know what, Scott? Something goes wrong sometimes with the phone lines when I'm... Darn it, Chris. Look what you did.
I screwed that one up. I'm sorry, Ms. Miller.
I've got no Zionist strings to hold me down. There are no strings on me.
Thank you, Mr. President. All right. I knew the story about it would either be about the gay or about the Jehu that Scott would be calling.
Both.
Harvey Weinstein. He can cover both.
Once you bring up the gay penguins, you know. By the way, so the gay penguins, the zookeeper said homosexuality is nothing unusual among animals. Sex and coupling up in our world do not necessarily have anything to do with reproduction. Huh? Wow.
What? That's crazy.
If only...
I've got about
humans.
A billion kids, so... You know,
what's that?
Nothing. No.
Okay. All right. By the by, so a conservative Christian political activist says Dick Cheney is advocating sexual anarchy.
Anarchy?
Eek! The director of cultural affairs with Liberty Council says Cheney's love for his
lesbian
daughter has clouded his judgment. Here we go on the slippery slope. If the freedom to marry means that people ought to be free to enter any kind of union, he's virtually endorsing polygamy, polyamory. What the hell's that?
Polyamory. Multiple partners.
Incestuous marriage and bestiality.
Yes, of course he's endorsing that.
All right, back with all of that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Around here,
Stephanie Miller.
The town drunk is a person of great honor.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, speaking of which, Chris, Daniela, which kind of drunk on the live blog?
Oh, the drunk and Irish Danielle on the live blog.
Yes.
Yes, says she's a little bit worried about Tom Hartman getting so close to the gay Ray.
Oh, no. Listen, that Louise is a bobcat.
Oh, really? How do you know this?
Oh, listen, I've been to conferences with Tom and Louise, and you have to pry them apart with a forklift. It's a
forklift?
Jaws of life.
Yeah,
yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Some other sort of tool, Jim. You know what I'm saying. Speaking of tools, we will have right-wing tool Rich Galen on an hour or two on Monday.
Great.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
But you know what? He's the least tooliest of the right-wing tools.
Oh, he's
true.
A chuckly tool.
Yeah, he's not like Alex Castellanos, which you got into a fight with.
Yes, he's also tooly. And our very favorite reporter from CNN, Candy Crowley.
Yes.
It will be on Monday as well. Well, we say that unless John King's on, and then our allegiance suddenly shifts. All right. Jose in Oakland. on the my good friend Sean Hannity. Hi, Jose.
Sounds like you guys are just having a little too much fun at that convention. Yeah, I knew the foamers were going to get a little worked up over, you know, his trip. But the, I mean, are you really going to give Hannity a hug? Because I would be so bossed.
I've been caught on tape hugging Hannity.
I'm dating myself by using the term boss, I realize.
Made me think of Hot Wheels.
Yes.
Yeah, 48, you got it.
Do me a solid and give Hannity a hug. It's a weird thing, isn't it, Chris? It's like my dirty little secret.
Yes, it is.
That I have he's oddly compelling in person.
He does have a magnetism.
Even though he's satanic on the air.
He's actually, off the air, he's a rather nice guy.
Ugh.
I know.
Ugh.
I know.
All right. Although we're on in New York now, you know, so he may have heard many things that we say about him on a daily basis. So the meeting this year may be a little
frosty. A little bit prickly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cheryl in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Cheryl.
I suggested for you and Tom and your joint speech.
Yes.
High school across the water here, a 17-year-old was honored by writing. He had written this wonderful persuasive speech on, publicizing the use of marijuana. And so he was allowed to give his speech before 150 of his peers and his teachers. At promptly ending his speech, he took out his joint. He lit it up, smoked it for a few puffs,
awesome.
Stuffed it out, and then swallowed it. To which he was promptly hauled off the stage and jailed.
He swallowed it?
That's a true joint speech.
So, yeah, Cheryl, Tom and I are going to have to get high to speak to all these right-wing radio hosts, I think. Listen, if Rush can take 1,000 Oxycontin a week, we can't smoke a half a joint before a speech? Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. That's the kind of fairness doctrine I'm for. All right. We talked about the gay penguins earlier and the right-wing activist who says Dick Cheney is advocating sexual anarchy.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim, I mispronounce that, but what is polyamory?
It's multiple partners.
Oh, how is that? He said that he's endorsing polyamory and polygamy.
Either that, or he's endorsing a Disney film with Haley Mills.
Oh, that could be.
Pollyanna?
Or maybe multiple partners at the armory. I'm not really sure what that means. Anyway, and also bestiality.
I'm sure that goes on in, in the barracks.
By the way, what some right-wing tool was talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
And she was saying, I don't know where I saw her, but she was saying that you can't have gays because you can't integrate them because it would be disruptive. Like they haven't already been there.
Yeah, got news for you.
It'll be too disruptive to integrate the gays into the...
Yeah, I got news for them. I have quite a few friends who are gays in the military.
What?
Oh,
bum,
my
bum,
God.
Bum.
Don't kill anybody.
Yeah, by the way, here's some breaking news for all y'all from the 47-year-old loser spinster of the show.
Yes.
Not all gay people want to have sex with every person of the same sex, and not all straight people want to have sex with everyone of the opposite sex.
You don't say.
Uh-huh. Just a little FYI, a lot of
GTK.
Yeah, and normally it's the straight guys, the straight homophobes, that's the last guys. They're usually the ugliest guys.
Hey, what about me?
Listen, no gay guys want to do you. Don't worry about it.
What am I, chopped liver? Hey.
All right. Michael Steele said much the same. He said the vice president brings a very personal perspective to this issue. He's referring to the gay daughter.
Yeah.
And then he went on to say, my personal view is this, marriage between man and woman, blah, 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 blah.
When is he going to retract all that? Is Rush going to castigate him for bringing up the gay daughter?
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sure people are looking for some gay fruits on that family tree now.
Yeah. Speaking of which, a candidate to lead the North Carolina Republican Party has sued over the vicious rumor that he's gay.
Oh. Vicious.
Tom Fetzer, he's the former mayor of Raleigh, North Carolina, filed a libel lawsuit against a radio host who is accused of forwarding an email insinuating that he's gay.
What? Criminal forwarding of emails with insinuation.
Yeah. I'm guessing legally he doesn't have very strong case here. He sent an email to supporters late last month announcing his plans to sue and denying that he's gay. Oh boy, Chris, here we go again.
He's not gay.
Let me be clear. I am not gay.
Okay.
I never have been gay.
No.
I love my wife.
Maybe he shouldn't be drawing attention to it so much by filing a lawsuit.
Yeah. And after Larry Craig, you'd think that a Republican wouldn't have the cojones to actually give a press conference and say, I am not gay. I never have been. I never will be, he wrote. The fact that I'm 54 and single does not mean I have to put up with...
And he's a penguin. But other than that...
Other than that...
Mom, I'll take the garbage out soon! And single does not mean that I have to put up with vicious rumors that I'm gay.
Vicious.
The fact that I am heterosexual is a matter of public record.
Really?
Really?
Oh,
now.
Really? Have you... Has he been arrested for...
Yeah. I was going to say, how do you get a public record of that, Jim?
Has he done someone on camera?
I was going to... What public record? What does that mean? A police record?
Oh,
what,
dear.
Look, here's my porn resume.
He did something incredibly straight, damn it, that is a matter of record. It's, you can go to the library and look it up.
It's on microfiche.
Yes.
No, macrofiche. What am I saying? Microfiche would never capture my straight hugeness.
I bleeped some chick in Macy's window at lunch hour, and her breasts were like bags of sand.
How straight is that? Huh?
Mm. Oh, boy.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
All right. But the disturbing thing is Michael Steele, we've talked about this recently, Michael Steele was able to cite Barack Obama, as was Miss California, in saying, I agree with President Obama on this. Yeah, this is we've been talking about this, there's been an undercurrent, but now there's a lot of stories about gay groups are really getting impatient with the president. And we'll talk to Hal Sparks about this in Hour 3, because he keeps saying... You know, Jim, not to be Kyle's, not to be like, I want everything I want.
Right. He's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah, then he'll get to it, but right.
It's not at the top of his list.
See, I agree with Boner. It should be at the top of his list. But, but they're growing increasingly impatient. I mean, when you've got Dick Cheney to the left, literally, of Barack Obama, it's starting to... Mm-hmm. So these stories are starting to hit the wire. President Obama's promises of change are falling short for one core Democratic constituencies, gays and lesbians, whose leaders say Obama's administration isn't keeping up with the times. I think, and we've said this, I think with gay marriage, he's got to say something at some point. I mean, this is becoming... When you've got Ted Olson... Standing up and talking about why this is unconstitutional, and you've got a constitutional scholar that's president.
Olson, I think, has other motives.
Well, see, you're of the conspiracy theory on Ted Olson, but I...
You know what? When Ted Boutros called in earlier this week, who's Ted Olson's law partner, and explained why they're doing it, I bought it. So.
Well, you're naive like I am. Jim is made of heart of your stuff.
Oh, thanks.
You're a little Mary Sunshine like me.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Gay rights campaigners, obviously many who worked very hard to get Obama elected, have begun to voice their public frustration with Obama's inaction and deafening silence on what they see as the signal civil rights issue of this era. His most important campaign promises, repealing DOMA and the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, have not been fulfilled. I do understand the one reasoning, like Daniel Choi. Chris, we talked about this, and why they're saying he's not going to, he could do the, what is it, stop loss? I mean, there, he
right.
could... stop it, but they're saying that that would take the pressure off to actually get it repealed, that they want, that they think it needs to be done through legislation, they want Congress to actually repeal it. So I sort of understand that, but at the same time, I think, this isn't even like it's unsafe politically. The vast majority of Americans think Don't Ask, Don't Tell is ridiculous and ought to be overturned.
Sure. Yeah, and it's just really sad that people like Daniel Choi are losing their benefits that they've worked so hard for years.
Yep. Yep.
You know, they're losing their pension. They're losing everything
that's
owed to them.
There's as the president would say, the urgency of now. I know that our friend Andrew Sullivan, the conservative, who is gay, said that he's starting to complain, saying it's the fierce urgency of whenever. Let's see, a veteran gay rights activist said Obama is out of step with his party, which is overwhelmingly in favor of marriage at this point. He's out of step with the next generation, which that's the other point people are making, is that he is supposed to be, he's the next generation president. And this is what we keep saying. If you look at the polls, the younger and younger you go, there is support for gay marriage. So that's why he seems not just politically, but generationally out of step on this.
Yeah.
Public opinion polls show now more than 40% of Americans support same-sex marriage, seen as a fringe issue just a few years ago. Obviously, already five New England states and Iowa have same-sex marriage laws on the books. Who did Chris, who was it yesterday? New Hampshire.
Yes, it was New Hampshire. Yay, New Hampshire.
Yay, New Hampshire. Welcome to the party. Politicians are finding out that their voters are moving faster than they anticipated, said one pollster, surprising that Obama is behind the curve because he's the next generational candidate. You know, Jim, you always say this, that, you know, they talk about, oh, the liberal media. It's like the American public is actually more liberal
right.
than the Democrats, you know.
And
Democrats,
some of them are liberal than the media.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. But that, they're the ones that get scared, and it's like, look at the, they're ahead of you. They want national health care. They want, you know, if you look at polling on issue after issue. So, you know, anyway, Howard Dean said there's going to come a point where he's going to have to deal with it. Howard Dean supports same-sex marriage. He said of Obama, I'm in favor of giving him a little more time. He's got an awful lot on his plate. But, you know, again, they're talking about a lot of left-leaning gay figures. See, Dick Cheney coming out to the left of Obama is, you know, that's something that, that causes the GAC reflex.
Yes, it does.
GAC! All right. So, the far right predictably did not like the president's speech.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, we'll tell you what they had to say about it as we continue 45 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show on the road, live from New York, 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Ken in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our favorite Dick Cheney.
I have a terrific idea for Jim, actually. I wanted to see if he wanted to start a band with me called Sexual Anarchy.
and for the UK?
You could play mouth harp and mouth organ if you wanted. And you could also write the lyrics. Because
I don't know if he would want to break up the Foreskins, his garage band.
That's true. But, you know, you are... I'd like to have you on lyrics, you know, writing the lyrics, because you're such a cunning linguist.
All right, Squeezy. Thanks for calling.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Don't ever call it a mouth organ.
I could be the Yoko Ono of the Foreskins, Jim.
Mississippi saxophone. There was never a real band. We were just goofing off in high school.
Right.
All about doing.
I like
album
to believe
covers.
In it. I like to believe the myth.
Yeah.
All right.
It was sort of like the Ruddles.
I get it.
We never actually performed anything.
All right.
Because at the time, none of us could play any instruments.
Well, that's an impediment to a band.
There's a problem.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of Dick Cheney,
mm-hmm.
Oh, dear God, you know, we ask almost daily, will he shut up? Will he drink that giant cup of STFU? And the answer is no.
No.
Computer says no. No, he will not. He had some thoughts on the president's speech.
Computer says no.
He said Barack Obama made the United States look weak when he failed to stand up to Arab tyranny in Iran in his speech to Arabs and Muslims.
First of all, they're not Arabs in Iran.
Persians. Yeah.
As did the boner. Said he welcomed the president's thoughtful and optimistic speech. However, he voiced his concern about the points on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He said even though Israel has a right to defend itself against terrorism, he seemed to place equal blame on the Israelis and the Palestinians. The leader of Egypt, of course, said the exact opposite. He thought, so he must have done something right, Jim? It's like when the Palestinians they don't like the speech
that has to be resolved, the Israeli-Palestinian issue. You know, trying to play around with who's righter or wronger, it's not productive. It's got to be resolved somehow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean that's
or
the
this
problem.
Is going to go on forever.
Yeah,
or exactly. Until World War III.
Exactly. Interesting. The settler reaction was the same as John Boner's. Hussein Obama gave a priority to Arab lies, declared a statement from an organization of Israeli settlers. The head of one of Israel's political parties shrugged off the president's remarks. Israel is not America's lackey.
Really?
So, yes.
Okay, well then let's stop giving them money.
Uh-huh. The paper reports the speech is being better received by leaders of Israel's opposition parties who are citing Obama's speech to criticize the policies of Netanyahu. In the U.S., Jewish Democrats said the president made very clear to the Arab world that he was going to continue to prioritize Israel's peace and security and that the U.S. and Israel have an unbreakable bond. So it's like, you know, everybody sees something different in the same exact same speech. The boner on the speech.
He seemed to place equal blame on the Israelis and the Palestinians. I have concerns about this. The Israelis have a right to defend themselves. And how he can allow, put in the same sentence, put them in the same box, I'm a bit concerned about.
Yeah, it's almost as if Palestinians were human beings or something. What? Where does he get that crazy notion?
Should it be at the top of his list?
Yeah, I
guess. Shouldn't this be a sign that we are becoming finally a more honest broker between the two sides?
Yeah, exactly.
Got, you know,
if we piss off both sides, then
right.
You can't be an honest broker
literally,
if you take one side.
What's his name? Mubarak of Egypt said the exact opposite of what Boner said. He said how the president can possibly call the Zionist hoods the same, you know, put them on the same level as the poor Palestinian people. You know what I mean? So that's exactly the point.
Right.
We're not
going to
make any progress, Jim, unless we're seen as some sort of honest broker. You're right. It's like it doesn't solve anything to spend more time talking about which is more wrong or what. They've both done things that are wrong. I understand there's a difference. But, you know, the president has been clear that they've got to stop building settlements.
That is
part of it.
You can't be a referee and a cheerleader at the same time.
Right. Right, right. You know, and clearly that, you know, and he did say they've got to, obviously the Palestinians have got to stop the violence. I mean, a lot of it's like how much more can you state the obvious?
Right. Stop blowing people up and lobbing rockets into Israel, then maybe they'll talk.
Yeah.
But
exactly. He also go ahead. Sorry, Jim.
No, go ahead. That's all right.
He also, by the way, give me cut nine, Chris. He talked about both sides of the situation. I thought.
Let there be no doubt. The situation for the Palestinian people is intolerable. And America will not turn our backs on the legitimate Palestinian aspiration for dignity, opportunity, and a state of their own.
What?
However,
what a Zionist hood.
Yeah.
Oh, Mubarak is right.
What a Muslim Zionist hood. Oh, wait a minute.
What? Wait a minute.
No.
Oh, that's why I'm saying the reaction is as confused as our religious right-wing crazy Scott from Massachusetts. He's a Muslim Zionist hood?
Zionist.
What? Give me a cut eight. He talked about both sides. This was obviously, aimed at Iran, and I'm a dinner jacket.
Around the world, the Jewish people were persecuted for centuries. And anti-Semitism in Europe culminated in an unprecedented Holocaust. 6 million Jews were killed. More than the entire Jewish population of Israel today. Denying that fact is baseless. It is ignorant and it is hateful.
So
what?
Wait a minute.
Zionist hood.
He's a Muslim terrorist now. He was just a Zionist hood a minute ago. Wait a minute.
He didn't blame. He blamed both sides. You can't do that. What?
That's
hey!
Nuance!
How are we going to pigeonhole you now? Crap!
Oh, one of our favorite right-wing tools, Alex Castellanos, who has entirely too many L's in his name.
You know, frankly, this is the kind of speech that presidents win Nobel Peace Prizes for.
Huh?
Because they don't give those out for results and accomplishment. They tend to give them out for intent and effort.
Oh,
so he hasn't solved the problem yet. So
yeah, you know, there isn't peace in the Middle East yet. What a loser.
God, Castellanos is a dick.
Oh,
Cheney. Much
Charles Krauthammer on the Bert Burr Show.
The damage in policy was rather small. The damage to opposition philosophically was large. On policy, the damage was small because the speech was so abstract and vapid and self-absorbed that it didn't touch a lot of policy, except on Iran. Where he was exceedingly weak. That was the weakest statement on Iran and nukes in at least 8 or 9 years by anyone in the West.
You know what really pissed him off, though, is that he mentioned the fact that we overthrew the democratically elected Mossadegh administration in 1953.
57 minutes after the hour, back with Pencil Talk on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show on the road, live from New York City. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. I'm away at Radio Summer Camp, everybody.
Yeah, great.
Tom Hartman's right there getting ready for his show. Ed Schultz will be in here in a minute. We're here for the big radio convention. Tom and I have to give a speech on free speech after Rush Limbaugh accepts the award for free speech, and we couldn't be more delighted. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice of deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller.
And isn't Rush kind of being a puss and not picking up his award?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think he's being a puss.
I hope to one day be successful enough to shun all of my awards and not show up.
Yeah, if you ever win an award.
I'll be on the veranda of my Palm Beach mansion inhaling OxyContin.
Uh-huh.
All right. The president, of course, in his big speech in Cairo the other day.
Now, much has been made of the fact that an African-American with the name Barack Hussein Obama could be elected president. But my personal story is not so unique. Its promise exists for all who come to our shores. And that includes nearly 7 million American Muslims.
Apparently, according to Sean Hannity, that was a little too kumbaya-y for
really?
His taste.
President Obama was hoping that his speech would send the world into a giant chorus of kumbaya. But the Ayatollah, he's singing a different tune. He says there is a deep hatred for the U.S. in the Mideast. Well, better luck next time, Mr. President. No kumbaya. Keep trying.
You know, I'm going to hug Sean Hannity and sing, make him, force him to sing kumbaya with me tonight when
you
I see
should.
Him.
You should.
Yeah.
He has a
soprano.
He has an edgy ice cream party every year at this radio convention called Hannity After Dark.
Boy.
It's an ice cream party or whatever.
It's an ice cream party?
Mm-hmm.
With a name like Hannity After
Dark? Oh, he just tries to make it seem all right-wing and, you know, family values and white bread, and everyone drinks themselves silly like everyone does at every radio convention. We're all a bunch of drunks. Okay.
Are there go-go dancers?
Maybe this year.
Hey.
One never knows.
Okay.
All right, Senator Lindsey Graham, you know, Chris, he finds Sonia Sotomayor's record troubling in that, you know, the downtrodden white man like him might be get a short shrift.
I do hope that the Senate and the committee will allow us a chance to go through not only the questionnaire, but 3,000 cases, a very long background, in many ways distinguished, in some ways troubling.
So he wants to go through every single judgment she's ever made. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Just run out the clock, maybe till 2012.
Yes, I'm thinking that's...
Great.
About the same time they hope Al Franken gets in office.
Yes.
Okay. All right, here's some breaking news from Jared. Well, you'll love this, Steph. This is from the Associated News, the Associated Press Twitter feed. Suspect in the shooting death of Kansas abortion provider George Tiller tells the Associated Press he's being treated as a criminal.
yeah.
That's too bad.
Because he's a criminal. He's a murderer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He seems to have a loose
alleged
grip
murderer.
Already on what's legal and what's not legal.
And apparently he has ties to right-wing extremist groups.
Wasn't Janet Napolitano warning about that very
well? Yeah, she warned about that, didn't she?
It is coming out that he does have ties to Operation Rescue, which is Randall Terry's group.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, which is why Randall Terry was trying to distance himself from him.
Backpedal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who? I've never heard of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But at least Randall Terry hasn't sang or anything.
Okay.
Oh, no. I'd forgotten about that. Thanks for reminding me.
That was outside the Terry Schiavo thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's quite a voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ugh.
He's no Susan Boyle. Okay.
No, he's not.
Let's check some entertainment.
Eyebrows.
Let's check some entertainment news.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, the headline, Jolie and Pitt address breakup rumors. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt have spoken out to quash rumors. You know what that means, Chris.
What?
It's probably true.
Yeah.
To quash rumors of an imminent breakup, as reports of a split refused to go away, internet gossips claim the romance is in trouble after Pitt was reportedly spotted meeting with ex-wife Jennifer Aniston last month. A representative for Pitt says reports of an impending breakup are absolutely not true.
And they were all snuggly at the Cannes Film Festival.
Just oh, kind yes. Of just, oh, yes.
Yeah, being really
PDA galore.
Yes.
Yes. We have some audio from both of them, by the way.
I don't know where these crazy rumors about us breaking up are coming from. I mean, look at us all snuggly and cuddly and kissy-kissy. Ow! You bit me!
There's more where that came from. Just better watch yourself, Mr. Man.
I mean, look how close we are. Hugging and fondling. We can hardly keep our hands off each other. Oh, you need me in the nads. What was that for?
That was a warning shot. Just think about that pain next time you get it in your mind to start pawing that bottle blonde, fake-boobed Greek slut.
Huh? Oh, no, they're totally real. Oh! Okay, I had that one coming. Look, I mean, look, we've had about 18 kids together. 12 kids. Okay, 6 kids.
Name them.
What?
I said name them.
Let's see. There's Maddox, Shiloh, Zenu, Zeppo, Maynard, Zohan, Paxel. Oh, I can't remember. I can't breathe. Somebody, please help me.
Oh, God. I heard she likes it rough, but that's
see,
a little...
They were very close.
If I had kids, that's what I'd call them, Paxel and Zoloft.
Zohan.
Zohan.
Because that's what I would need to get through parenting, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. She didn't get that reference.
No. No.
Which?
No, it was Zohan.
It was just a bad movie.
I understand.
Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
Jim, I'm distracted. We have breaking news on Help I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, for God's sakes. Angela, our friend from Frangela, has been voted off.
Yeah.
There's only a fur and no Jela. Fur is in the jungle alone, for God's sake.
Yeah, and they're inseparable.
Shouldn't it be a package deal? Shouldn't they both be booted off? If they...
Wow.
You know, we should do that next time they're in. If one of them pisses us off, we'll just one of them. You're gone!
Yeah. You're a celebrity. Get out of here.
Into the penalty box.
All right. Heidi and Spencer begged for forgiveness on the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here last night. After quitting and then changing their minds, they made a mea culpa. They said, we realized we made a big mistake and the devil got to us and said, get out of the jungle.
Devil?
Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Well, Stephen Baldwin did baptize Spencer Pratt while they were in the jungle.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Mm. He said, I'm here for good. I don't even know if I'm ever going back home. I want to stay here and eat bugs forever.
Great.
The episode ended with the group voting on whether they could return. Oh, please, Jesus, please let them take us back, Heidi said with her hands folded. As the host announced their punishment, a night in a dark chamber with rats and spiders. Which may or may not be worse than a Pat Robertson sermon, which we're going to hear now. He had a comment on this for some reason.
It seems those two little wannabe imps of Satan, Spencer and Heidi Pratt, have attempted to sell out their Lord of the Unholy by blaming him for their infernal quitting of the reality show they're inflicting on God's children. It's as if they think they can just exit their pact with old Scratch and Will and thereby avoid the reward their sinfulness has earned them. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. God knows who's responsible and will inflict a little reality of his own, which they shall experience forthwith as he subjects them to the dengue fever of his chastisement. They shall be covered with the fast-growing tropical fungus of his retribution, even as the butterfly larvae of his irritation burrow their way in their sin-soaked flesh, while the liana vines of his holy wrath entwine their filthy extremities, immobilizing them for those two jungle tribesmen, Asmodeus and Beelzebub, as they ready to cook part of the Lord's retribution, while the mosquitoes of his righteous indignation pepper them with the welts of his correction. They shall be pumped full of the giardia of his castigation and the unending diarrhea of his rebuke, culminating in their dehydrated giblets being expelled into the hot cauldron of his reproof, where they shall bubble away for all eternity. In Jesus' name, I pray.
In Jesus' name, you pray.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. Hey, speaking of celebrities, I entirely forgot to say that Roseanne will be here on the Celebrity Hotline in just a few minutes, and comedian Hal Sparks live all next hour.
That's right.
on the big show.
In studio with us here in Los Angeles, not with you.
Hmm.
Yeah, so he can't come on to you now.
Hmm. Damn. If you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall, there's a tile ad, you know, on stephaniemiller.com. Gling! All right.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. Yes.
Exactly. Thank you. Oh, dear. David Carradine. Oh, heavens.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I read the
story
that he was found hanged in a closet naked, and I thought, why would he want to?
Hmm.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes, we're in Michael Hutchins territory, it seems. Yeah. Well, the first report was natural causes,
right.
Then the second report was suicide, and now Wah, wah. Yeah, in fact, Tommy from Columbus just sent me this moments ago. Let's see. He was found, you're right, Jim, naked. There was the naked. There was a rope tied around his neck and another rope tied at his sex organ, and the two ropes were tied together and hung in the closet, said the police captain there. Under these circumstances, we cannot be sure that he committed suicide. He may have died from masturbation.
Audio.
Autoerotic.
Audio.
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 No, that's what this is, Jim. Yeah, that's a wow. Don't get that exactly whole thing. The whole
actually, I know someone who did that.
Yeah. Did they die?
Did they?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't try that at home or anywhere else. That's a yes.
I think you need an assist if you're doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like, you know what? It's like the gym. Yeah. It's like the gym. Yeah. You need a spotter.
Spot me.
You need a somebody.
Yeah. I don't use a spotter.
Just make sure things don't go awry.
You don't drop an anvil on your head.
That's a that's a wow. That it's
sad.
It is, but it's just
and
people that
embarrassing.
Need, yeah. Well, it's like that's the sometimes it's a people need more and more stimulation. What was that one? Our favorite. He was the preacher. You remember? He was found
with the flippers.
He was found naked with flippers. It was something
a wetsuit.
A wetsuit
and something in his
sex toy.
Yes, a cavity. He was so that's a lot. He needed a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's just
Well, also
at least that one didn't sit on a potato.
I don't know if like spanking was the gateway, and then suddenly like I say, and then the next thing you're dead with
a scuba suit with
flippers with something up your butt.
Well, it's said that David Carradine did have a drug problem, so maybe he was just trying to capture that high in other ways, if you will.
Here is the. By the way, we were saying that Margaret Cho had a hilarious Twitter yesterday.
Yes.
That she loved him because he was so Asian adjacent.
Yes.
Because here's the fun fact I read: he was primarily of Irish ancestry.
Yeah.
Right.
But he had his ambiguous features landed him a lifetime of roles playing a range of ethnicities, although he was often cast as Chinese, or as Margaret says, Asian adjacent.
Yes, super Asian adjacent is what she called him.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Jim, you let drop this bomb yesterday about and I had a chance to read the Newsweek on the plane about Oprah.
Yes.
And the fact that she allegedly sometimes gives medical advice that is a skosh bit
questionable.
She has responded to that report in Newsweek. She probably wishes she had, because she was not available for comment for the original story, but now she's available,
as it turns out.
So we'll tell you what she had to say as we continue 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City today, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lawrence in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I submit to you, and I know you only got a minute here for me.
Yes.
But I submit to you that Obama is afraid. I'll tell you why. And don't think Karl Rove is in this thing. He's in this mix. He's still advising all the Democrats. Obama is afraid. It takes him about 10 minutes now to finish one sentence. You know why? Because he's choosing his words so carefully, because he's afraid that the Republicans are going to pounce on it. Now, here's the strategy of what's going on now. Mm. Karl Rove has got the distraction strategy. So what he does is picks up on some stupid word or some word that's not important to Americans, like United States is not a Christian nation. This is the newest one that they pick up, they take it out, they blow it out of proportion, they distract Americans from what's really important.
Yes, and that's what they do.
And when 2012 gets here, they're going to go back and say, look, Obama didn't do anything on health care and the economy.
Ah, I think he's smart enough not to fall for that. But thank you, Lawrence. All right, he's distracting from my Oprah story, Chris.
Oh, your Oprah story, yes.
Yes, Jim dropped this bomb yesterday on the show, and then I happened to have plenty of time on the plane to read the Oprah Newsweek story. She is speaking out about Newsweek's latest cover story, which claims she abuses her influence and credibility by promoting health cures that are ineffective and dangerous. Among the guests that she has had on, Suzanne Summers. Did we have Suzanne on? I think we did. I did a show with her recently.
I don't think we've had her on this particular
show.
Oh,
I saw her last time I was at Larry King.
That's
she
right.
She has come on.
Has she?
Believe so. She told Winfrey she takes 60 supplements every day. And a variety of bioidentical hormones to fight aging. And I remember this stuck in Jim's memory. One of them is a vaginal, in fact, it's a vaginal injection that she takes daily, which Jim was kind enough to offer.
Offered her. Yeah.
To
for
do.
Free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah, I like Suzanne Summers. Some of this stuff, though, a lot of doctors are like, Jenny McCarthy, she's had on, she declared vaccinations caused her child's autism.
Well, that's...
And she supported a guest, a Winfrey guest, who said she would not get her own child vaccinated now because of what
well,
Jenny...
Well, the problem is when they bundle all these vaccines together and they use the Marisol as a preservative, you get a bigger dose of it when you bundle all those together. And the theory is that the mercury, essentially... causes autism. It's,
right.
It's
but
not
the problem
proven,
is they don't, it's not exactly. So then, the, you know, God forbid, then somebody listens and they don't get their kid vaccinated and the kid gets, you know. But the important thing, Chris, is that Oprah's giving Jenny McCarthy her own talk show. So perhaps I could think of some shaky medical advice to go on and talk about. It might get myself, might get me my own TV show.
Okay.
She has had Dr. Christiane Northrup on, who told Winfrey viewers that in many women, thyroid dysfunction develops because of an energy blockage in the throat region, the result of a lifetime of swallowing words one is aching to say.
You are kidding me. Yeah. She put that out there as serious medical advice?
And I think Oprah said she has that.
Yeah.
And because, as you know, Oprah has no way of expressing anything.
With, no.
Yeah. Yeah, she has no way of communicating.
She swallows her words all the time.
So she has to swallow so much because... She has no outlet.
Okay.
Winfrey insists she's only trying to...
If only she were more outspoken. Then...
If only she had some sort of vehicle, Jim,
yeah.
in which to...
Yeah. Voice her opinion.
Express yourself. Mm.
Winfrey insists she's only trying to open dialogue between her viewers and their doctors. She said, I trust the viewers, and I know they're smart and discerning.
Mm. Oh, boy.
Well, I mean...
Have you ever seen Oprah's favorite things?
Yeah. Those are not smart and discerning people.
Oprah likes it! Yeah. She says they're smart and discerning enough to seek out medical opinions to determine what may be best for them. No.
And you
I'm sorry,
get a
no,
diagnosis.
They do
and
what
you
Oprah
get a diagnosis.
Says.
And you get a diagnosis.
Yes. They do what Oprah says.
We
and
do
that's
what
a,
Oprah says.
And that's
we
a danger.
Are America. We do what Oprah says. Yeah, I was. I like Oprah. I was just wondering if anyone else notices that. But some of that stuff, it's a little bit,
hinky.
Yeah. All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Back with comedian Roseanne Barr on the Celebrity Hotline as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Run for your life! Roseanne's on the loose!
Oh, come on! It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Thank God no one ever listens that I actually do imitations of.
Hey, it's the co-host of tonight's event in Los Angeles, CIA Mind Control, Out of the Darkness into the Light. It's Roseanne Barr.
Good morning, Roseanne!
Hi. How are you doing?
I don't do as good as Roseanne as you do, but
well,
I'm fine.
You certainly don't.
Oh, Dan,
well,
come on.
Try it, Stephanie.
All right, whatever. How are you, Roseanne?
I'm pretty good. I got some allergies with all the bad air out here, but I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I know. I've got allergies too. How are you liking the new? Because we've talked politics before. How are you liking the new Obama presidency?
I don't at all. I just don't at all. Go if you want to know what I think. go to read my blog, RoseanneWorld.com, and I don't at all. Particularly his speech, you know, his joke of a speech. And
why?
Go to my, huh? Because it's just Bush doctrine, continuing Bush doctrine with absolutely no change at all, and it's very frightening.
How do you figure? I thought the tone was completely different.
He said nothing.
He said nothing?
He said absolutely nothing. No, he didn't.
What were you hoping for?
I was hoping for some change. The reason, remember why the guy got voted in?
Right.
I was hoping for some change and for it to start there in the Middle East, because that's why everything in the world is screwed up, including our economy.
Right.
And so I thought, but instead he was like, well, you know, from here we're going to grandfather all of these old settlements, and you know, they'll stay in place, but you know, in the future maybe we won't allow any more settlements. This is after what they just did in Gaza over there, and then they're just held, you know. And they have no, they're never held responsible for, you know, war crimes.
Well, I hear you, but
he's... government backs, and it makes me sick.
Well, he's clearly taking a lot stronger line with Israel than the previous administrations.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't demanded one, he uses strong rhetoric. He talks harsh and carries the smallest stick in the world. He doesn't do anything. He hasn't even, you know, me started.
Well, who knew we were going to get into a spat this early in the conversation?
I'm just very upset about it, and
obviously he's you know, getting us out of Iraq. He's closing Gitmo. You can't do either of those overnight. How can you say he's the same
as
Bush?
He's not doing that.
What do you mean he's not doing that?
He's not going to close Gitmo.
Look at, he's trying.
Well, he's not doing it, dude. Come on.
Well, he can't do it alone. We've got a bunch of...
Everybody's on the Kool-Aid. Let's not even go into it then.
All right.
Just go to my blog and read what Noam Chomsky said about it. Read, you know, and there's some truth there. I mean, there might be a glimpse of truth in the U.S. media there.
Yeah. You're cranky this morning, but I still
I'm
love you.
I'm cranky, damn it.
All right. I'll go to your damn blog.
There's a world to save, Stephanie.
All right. Tell us what you're doing in Hollywood. And we have our and I know you're going to get mad that I say this, but he's our conspiracy theorist, Jim Ward. Him. But he's going to be able to pepper you with questions about the event tonight. It's CIA mind control, out of the darkness into the light, in Hollywood tonight.
Yes, that is tonight at the Hollywood United Methodist Church, 6817 Franklin Avenue.
Yeah, okay. So tell us what this is about.
Well, it's about some CIA mind control experiments that were done on citizens in the United States from Operation Bluebird, Operation Paperclip, Operation Artichoke into MK Ultra mind control. And you know, it's all sanctioned from declassified CIA documents, so it's not like anybody's making it up, and it's not a conspiracy theory, it's actual truth. And you know, the person who declassified the documents and wrote several books on it, Dr. Colin Ross, is going to be speaking, and he's an expert at CIA mind control, from like LSD experiments they did on prisoners and mental patients in the 50s and 60s,
all the way through the
80s, huh?
Right. This involved the surreptitious use of drugs as well as other methods to manipulate mental states and alter brain function.
They're studying how to control, you know, populations. So, and they've been doing that for a long, long time.
How'd you get interested in this?
Well, you know, I am just very interested in... media and manipulation of populations' minds. I mean, because I'm a comic, that's how I got interested in it. I mean, because I worked in television, and you know, I just am interested because I'm a feminist, and you know, I'm very interested in how they control, the minds of consumers, women, and populations at large.
Mm-hmm. So what was the purpose of these experiments, and tell us more about what they involved?
Well, you know, there's going to be a person there who was a victim of MK Ultra, and her name is Kathy O'Brien, and you can YouTube her, Kathy O'Brien, and with a C, and you know, she can tell her own story, but it's largely her story of how she was involved in the program of MK Ultra and how she broke free of it. So it's largely her story, and backed up with Dr. Ross's talking about, and he has a lot of really cool slides that he can show how the CIA did these mind control and really crimes against humanity to innocent people without their consent in this country.
Roseanne, Are you using a vibrator right now?
Or no, stop it.
No, I think that's on your end, hon.
Oh, sorry. Oh, you're right. It's me. I am. I'm sorry. Listen, Rosanna, I'm on the road. Mama's got to take care of business. Jim Ward has some questions for you.
I'm just the MC, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, MK Ultra was heavily involved in creating hypno assassins, potential assassins who had an alternate personality.
Oh, so like a naked gun?
So you couldn't. About how shock and trauma can create, dissociative states in the mind, and right after you get a big, it's just like Bush's shock and awe over in Iraq. As soon as you get shock and awe, then you become very robotic and full of fear, and you do what's told. And that's basically the kind of experimentation they did on people to glean data so they could use it for mass population control. So as soon as you keep people in fear, like when they have this orange level of the fear. I mean, they're doing that on purpose because then people will allow them. People will be so afraid they'll allow them to pass any kind of crazy law, and that hence the last 8 years.
My only frame of reference though is a Naked Gun. You mean like Reggie Jackson when the Musk killed the Queen?
No. You should think more Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah,
because that's what they were trying to do. Actually, they were trying to get spies who would have a complete dissociated alternate personality, so you could torture.
They would have amnesia and not remember what they did. It's much total like Manchurian. The whole thing about the Manchurian Candidate, which I kind of think maybe Obama's one of them. Excuse me. The whole thing is to create, amnesia, so they don't even remember that they did it. And and they are at that level in mind control. There are huger levels than that, but we won't even go to it. This
they could have tried it with George Bush
years ago. MK Ultra.
They could have tried it with George Bush had he had a brain of any sort, but they probably.
Well, it's
so Bush.
Yeah.
No, Bush was a definite Manchurian candidate himself. Absolutely, his father was head of the CIA.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget.
He was CIA long before that too.
And yeah, absolutely, his whole family is, and they definitely groomed Bush. Mm-hmm. It really works on victims of, child abuse and incest. They already have dissociative states, and that's who they targeted, those children, and alcoholics and cocaine addicts too. And Bush is, probably all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so he made a fine president for them to, put things in place where it's just all about money laundering, moving drugs,
and he had a nice
money and putting it in private hands. That's what it's about.
And he had a nice empty space where a person's brain would normally be that they could just put in there whatever they want.
I'll tell you, I don't think any of us have the brains we were born with anymore. I really, really don't. With last night, I went to a Hollywood event. I shouldn't even say, but it was so CIA mind control with that positive new age thinking, which to me is like, oh my God, that's mind control. And we're sitting there going, you just think of wonderful things and they attach to you. That kind of secret.
Oh, you mean that secret crap?
I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, I
know.
Can't either.
I know. No, the secret drives me crazy too. It's
more importantly, Sirhan was thought to have been one of the MK Ultra victims.
He absolutely was.
I mean, they Rosie Greer and Carl Uecker, I think that's who he was, the maitre d' at the hotel, tried to get the gun out of his hand. They couldn't.
Right.
And he was a little guy, Sirhan. Yes, he's still alive. And he showed signs of being under hypnosis at the time. And of course, the shots came from somewhere else, as County Coroner Thomas Noguchi pointed out.
I think all that too, but like my boyfriend says, let me say what he says because he's true, because he goes, it's really cool that you've got all these conspiracy things that you talk about, but he says, the real scandal is what they're hiding right on the front pages. I mean, the poor bailing out the rich,
exactly.
How we get tricked into that, Exactly. Roseanne, I can confirm to you the secret doesn't work because back in the day, I remember that I prayed that I would get a sitcom and not you, and that crap, it just doesn't work.
No, it certainly doesn't work. And you know how they always say that you attract what you think?
The law of attraction.
So it's just a way to blame the victim and keep people under mind control.
Yep, exactly. The event is in Hollywood tonight. If you're out in the LA area, how do they find out?
We have a link to all information about the event right there, front and center, at stephaniemiller.com.
And do we have a link to Roseanne's blog
where
she does her crazy late-night ramblings?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
All right. I love you, Roseanne.
I love you. Thanks for having me.
All right, honey. Thanks for coming on. There she goes.
Read my blog about Obama's speech. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Thanks, Roseanne.
There she goes, Roseanne.
Hooray.
Oh, dear. We, we parted company politically there.
You stepped in a minefield.
Yeah, we ended friends.
You assumed she was on your side.
Yeah. So I did.
She's famously anti-Obama, actually.
I guess I should have done a little research on that.
That might have been good.
Or maybe I should have done the research for you.
I guess someone should have warned me.
I'm the producer. I probably should have,
yes,
you know,
if there were
produced.
Somebody producing this show
don't
in some
mention
way.
Mention Obama.
I might have been told that I had anti-Obama guests, which is fine.
Yes, it is.
That maybe started. You were told and you forgot because you're under the influence of MKUltra.
The CIA erased that memory. Ha ha!
I think Obama sucks.
Actually, some
I didn't see that coming.
Actually, some of the stuff she was talking about was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yes.
And this thing, it was real. I mean,
interesting,
though
distasteful to me.
Uncovered it in the 70s. The documents were really showing exactly what they did.
Yeah.
It initially came to light because one of their test subjects who was on LSD jumped out of a window or possibly was pushed, but, you know, who knows. But you can read
all
up
right.
on that.
All right. 44 minutes after the hour, some people liked Obama's speech, Roseanne.
Yeah.
We'll be back to talk about that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City today, 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tanner in Oklahoma. I'm our friend Roseanne. Hi, Tanner.
Yes, I think Roseanne is not the crunchiest potato chip in the bag.
All right now.
I'm sorry. Barack even said himself that one speech was not going to solve everything. Basically, what he's trying to do is lay some kind of groundwork. You have to get some kind of dialogue started first, just kind of see where he's coming from first.
Right.
Then whatever he needs to do could take care of itself from there.
Mm-hmm.
But for right now, that's all he was trying to do. I mean, mm-hmm. he's not going to solve it in one day.
Well, exactly. I mean, I thought the speech was really a great start, and you're right. He said that. He wasn't expecting it. You know, I mean, Roseanne sounds like somebody on Fox News right now. Like, there isn't peace in the Middle East. The speech sucked. He didn't do anything. It's
right.
like, that's what a speech is. You're
exactly.
speaking about what you want to do and what you hope for, and, you know, I thought it was great. Thank you, honey. Buddy in Columbus agrees with me, and that's the important thing. Hi, Buddy.
Yeah, hey, before the speech, can I get my T-ball trophy for a joke?
Yes.
David Carradine, he died in and of Bangkok.
I may have to, for the first time ever, not give a T-ball trophy for that.
Oh, come on. It was low-hanging fruit.
All right.
Hey, look, that was a remarkable speech. And for a president of the United States to admit what we did in Iran is great. And the second thing is, it just came out last week. You know what Iran did when we were fighting the Taliban and Al-Qaeda?
Mm-hmm.
They would catch them and turn them over to us. They would catch the terrorists mm-hmm. and turn them
yep.
over to us.
Yep.
And the Bush administration kept snubbing their noses, and finally they're like, oh, nuts to it. We're leaving you.
Yep, absolutely. Buddy, here's what you should have done. Get my comedy music ready, Chris. If you were going to do a really tasteless David Carradine joke, I would have said, you know, Steph, one night in Bangkok makes a hard man dead.
Oh.
Okay, goodbye. I take back my own T-ball.
That was awful. Stephanie Louise Miller.
Yes, I apologize. Mm-hmm. Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Mom.
Hold on.
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. This is Dave in Chicago.
Hello, Dave. Go ahead.
Oh.
Dave in Chicago.
Oops.
There
or
we are.
Or not.
Listening to Roseanne describe the MK candidates because they are people who've been either abused or mistreated as children, people who are alcoholics or drug addicts, and if I remember Roseanne's biography, that's her.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was going to ask her that, but I didn't want to be rude because I know she's talked about her own multiple personalities. I don't know if she thinks the CIA was involved, but I guess we'll ask her next time.
It's always possible, and it's CIA as in C.I. Arnold.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Dave in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Good morning, Mama.
Good morning, baby.
I am not one of Roseanne's fans. I was really, really discouraged to hear what she had to say. The mind control conspiracy theories, in quotes, is like ancient news. Dr. Frank Olson was the fellow that committed suicide because he was experimented on with massive doses of LSD when it was still in the experimental stage. And literally, he did think that he was going crazy, and he killed himself to save the people around him from his psychosis because he thought he had a mental disorder. But, I mean, this information's been out there forever. Mm-hmm. Buddy in Columbus mentioned the fact that that Obama admitted, you know, our involvement in the overthrow in Iran back in the 50s. And I think that's a major step forward.
Yeah.
And when
yeah.
that when that audience gives, you know, our President Barack Obama a standing ovation, I think it says everything that we need to know about the content of the speech and the content of the man that we've
Well,
elected.
You know, how do you make progress if you're not speaking the truth? I mean,
exactly. The point is, I mean, the Senate voted, what, 94-3 against closing Gitmo? What, is he supposed to be more like Bush and close it anyway against the advice of Congress and pull a dictatorial thing like that?
Well, and frankly, I wish Democrats in Congress had more spine. You know, unfortunately, it's you know, we've got problems with the Harry Reids of the world.
Right.
That
but
apparently
anyway,
don't understand that there is no part in these transfer of prisoners where they're allowed to go free.
Okay, well, you're...
like
you're,
we let them have a white party or something for a weekend. Some sort of spring break. And then,
anyway,
oh, by the way, you'll report to the Supermax, right? Okay.
Back to Stephanie Miller for a second.
Yes, yes I think
you
that's
will
best.
Get your own show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, along the lines of an Oprah show, it's
cool.
called Stephanie Miller's Ideas on Losing Weight with Mercury.
Thank you. Yes. I recommend mercury poisoning.
No, you don't.
All right. You know, I hope Dustin Hoffman is paying close attention to the David Carradine story. He says masturbation keeps him fit.
Excuse me?
Uh-huh. He says along with regular exercise, pleasuring himself is a good way to stay in
Why
shape.
Why does he need to share this?
I don't know.
He likes to joke around sometimes.
He said, I work out every morning. It's hard. I think he's talking about the workout. He was talking about the workout. I play tennis and injure myself from it, which happens more often. I jog. I do light weights. I fondle myself on occasion, too, and that burns calories, I believe. Wow.
A little too much of that also causes repetitive stress injury.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Little tennis elbow in a way.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Betty White and Sandra Bullock's husband, Jesse James, have had a flirt fest on the set of their new movie. She...
Wait a minute, what's the age difference between them?
Betty White is 87.
Yeah.
And Jesse James is 40. White the latest cougar? Every time he came around, it was like a flirt fest, said Sandra Bullock. You know, I've worked with Betty Wright, Chris, and she is a she's a treacherous slut.
She's a slut. Look at her slut.
She is.
I heard she swears like a sailor, too, which is awesome.
Sandra Bullock said there's a little something going on with Betty and Jesse. There was a little eyeing, a little touching. Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you gotta watch her. You gotta watch her like a hawk, that thing. And she, you know what? And she'll have you spayed just like that.
Yeah, she will.
Boop. Yeah, there you go. All right. I, for one, Roseanne, thought the president's speech was fabulous. Some crunchy audio goodness from the president.
For centuries, black people in America suffered the lash of the whip as slaves and the humiliation of segregation. But it was not violence that won full and equal rights. It was a peaceful and determined insistence upon the ideals at the center of America's founding.
He also, people say that, oh, he was so weak on Iran, he didn't take Iran on. He, I thought, addressed Iran.
The third source of tension is our shared interest in the rights and responsibilities of nations on nuclear weapons. This issue has been a source of tension between the United States and the Islamic Republic of Iran. For many years, Iran has defined itself in part by its opposition to my country.
Right back with comedian Hal Sparks, 57 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show on the road, live from New York City, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Comedian Hal Sparks joins us in just a moment. Don't forget, Monday on the big show, we will have a right-wing tool, Rich Galen, and also CNN's Candy Crowley.
That's right.
Our personal favorite.
He's not the tooliest of the tools.
He's no. Very he's funny. A chuckly tool.
He ain't no Alex Castellanos.
I will be immersed in right-wing tools at the radio convention later today. And Tom Hartman and I still have not written our speech that we're supposed to give after Rush Limbaugh wins the freedom of speech.
Your joint speech.
Award. Yeah, it's going to take something stronger than pot to get through that, let me just say.
The freedom to have more outlets so you can speak to more
exactly.
people.
Exactly. All right. The president, in his speech in Cairo, talking about the Iraq war.
Iraq was a war of choice that provoked strong differences in my country and around the world.
So I guess that's America bashing, Jim, to point out that this was an unnecessary war based on intelligence and lies. Charles Krauthammer.
The easiest way to get applause anywhere around the world is to attack the United States. And if you're a president, you will get loud applause, and he basked in it. The problem is that we are in a war on terror. We are in a struggle against Iranian nukes. We are also in a struggle of philosophy between our way in the West and the more extreme examples of Sharia law, and if you don't defend them unequivocally and without apology and without a moral equivalence, you are conceding defeat in advance.
No, you're not.
See that, Jim? You can't point out anything. You shouldn't say you're sorry when you unnecessarily invade a Muslim country and kill hundreds of thousands of people. Based on a pack of lies, that would be bad form, I guess.
What they're really angry about, as him pointing out, that we overthrew the democratically elected Mossadegh government in Iran in 1953, which led directly to the revolution in 1979. People want to pretend it was, they're just a bunch of bad guys. No, it was retribution for the Shah and Savak, which we caused.
Yep.
Yep. We, meaning CIA, MI6.
You're so smart, Jim.
You're smart.
Standard Oil and British Petroleum, but anyway.
He knows stuff. Okay. Oh, dear God. Are you ready? Get my hallelujah choir ready. U.S. Senator Norm Coleman won't take his election contest to the federal courts. That's the direction unnamed Coleman confidants say the former senator is leading. Oh, he will be done, said one Republican source. Let's hope that's true. He's going to finally go to storage room B for the love of God.
We're
going
to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
Hopefully there's not some Republican governor of some sort that might have presidential ambitions that may need to suck up to the Republican base.
Oh, boy.
Lori writes some fun facts about Tim Pawlenty. Hey, Steph, when covering him, please be aware that Pawlenty is a complete right-wing nut. He's trying to seem like a guy next door, but he's crazy, in all caps. He actually stated that if his 12-year-old daughter got pregnant by being raped, he'd make her have the kid. He also called Norm Coleman the finest public servant in America. Pawlenty's leadership was responsible for Minnesota's infrastructure crumbling, too, like our bridges falling apart. He was also a wimpy lawyer before running for office. He sucked bad. Lori's a lawyer. She says, I was against him on a case where he represented the biggest slime ball in town for sexually abusing a female employee, actual multiple victims, and Pawlenty was impotent. He issued threats and then ran off and had someone else handle it. Allegedly, that's what Lori says.
Yeah, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Lori, for those not-so-fun facts. You know, as if our Friday show could get any funner, I don't even know how I know this, that there's someone at the door in Los Angeles.
Yes!
Jim, who is it?
It's actor, comedian, musician, Renaissance man, overachiever, and all-around swell guy, Hal Sparks.
Yay! Hello!
Hello, overachiever.
Hello, I'm just here to tell you that I've got a special event I'm hosting tonight called CIA Animal Growing and the Reptiles Among Us.
I believe you're making a little joke at Roseanne's expense.
I would
promoting her CIA event earlier.
I would never do so because I don't need to. I have been on a couple of shows with Roseanne, as have you.
Yes.
And she's BS crazy. There's no question. This is the first time I met Roseanne was on her talk show, which went on for 2 years after no one was airing it.
Right.
And I'm not kidding. It was on two stations.
I remember that.
And she chased me around the set with a can of string cheese, of like of spray cheese.
Oh,
this was the interview.
Why?
I don't. You're really asking me why? There, I don't think there was any basis. There's. I can't think of a reason to chase me around with a can of spray cheese.
She thought,
hello.
I wouldn't stop there.
See, and you were afraid I was going to hit on you. Now
that's
it's what's happening.
For me.
Look out.
I think Roseanne was hallucinating that you were a plate of French fries.
Entirely possible. Yes, you wanted me chili cheese fries.
She's always been very nice to me. In fact, I remember I saw her once on the, the lot where she taped Roseanne.
Right.
I was, just said, oh, I'm a big fan, you're hilarious. She's like, thank you very much, it's very kind of you. She was so, that's really the only interaction I had with her before.
She vacillates between being very lovey-dovey and very just kind of off the deep end. The whole world is like apocalyptic 2012.
Oh, I know. I made the mistake because I there's no producing of any kind done on this show. Nobody told me that she's not an Obama fan. And so I walked right into that tiger's cage.
Well, I would also say for the record that I don't know that moment to moment you can guess whose fan she is.
Yeah.
Like she may have called in as an Obama fan and changed her mind in the middle of it. That's why.
The commercial break.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what most of what she said was just kind of hyperbole. She didn't actually back it up with anything. She just kind of went, I thought it was awful. It was exactly like everything.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything,
Lick.
But I don't get me started, which means don't make me defend my position.
Yeah. If you heard her review of the presidency, she said, it's not. He's the same as Bush.
I know. And I'm like, not really. I mean, I'm all for legitimate criticism, and if you want to break it down based on your own issues, that's totally cool. But saying he's just like Bush when he just basically said to the Muslim world, we're cool. Let's start from scratch.
Yeah.
That would have never happened. He would have gone, hey, I don't understand you folks, but I don't really want to. So I'm going to stand up here reading a comic book. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to get out of here in a second. And By the way, I'm on a green screen, and I'm not actually in front of y'all because I don't understand.
Bomb starts in 5 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, exactly. What did you think of the speech? Because I thought it was great. He started by saying a speech isn't going to change anything.
When he said assalamu alaikum, I got goosebumps and on several different levels. And the amazing thing was that he went through each point like he does. You know, he's a PowerPoint guy who doesn't even need PowerPoint.
Right.
And he'll go through these major 6 points or whatever. And when he's going, Israel has a right to exist, and anybody who says otherwise is an idiot. However, Israel has to stop the new settlements, and we're going to be hardline about that. And he has. He's actually pressured. Netanyahu was, pissed about it for the last, month.
Yeah.
That he's been pushed.
Because apparently the settlements haven't been dismantled during the speech.
Exactly.
Roseanne feels that he hasn't done anything.
We are currently in the process of driving people out with cattle prods. That's what she wanted. I want to hear buzzing
she
in the background.
She thinks it's like Hollywood, how they should have struck the set
exactly.
In the middle of before the speech was done.
Someone will walk into the settlements and go, cut!
Lose the settlers.
Lose the settlers. Move in the Palestinian extras. Wandering around with baskets of fruit, being happy instantly.
Sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words, but I saw a picture of an Israeli soldier letting some Israeli settlers through a fence to continue,
Exactly.
I don't think it's going on a limb saying, I don't think they're doing a lot to stop them.
Right, and Obama's going, to Netanyahu, you got to stop that, yesterday, now. You have to stop it. And she's, apparently, there's no difference in that.
Bush was Israel.
Israel.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
So I love
you. You decide.
And I thought Obama, Chris, we have this cut that, he addressed. The problem is, you remember back after 9/11, the whole world was on our side. The problem is we use that.
Mm-hmm.
And he addressed that.
9/11 was an enormous trauma to our country. The fear and anger that it provoked was understandable. But in some cases, it led us to act contrary to our traditions and our ideals.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest missed opportunity in the world. We have never had the whole world on our side.
That speech in particular, he was systematically taking the argument that most of the recruiters used to get more terrorists and to build, get suicide bombers, taking every single argument that they make and dismantling it right in front of them. Right. That was the amazing part. By going, you know, we're not a monolithic society that everybody hates Muslims. We have 7 million Muslims here in a mosque in every state, which a lot of, like, the right-wingers like Rush went, how did that happen? You know, like,
damn it.
Yeah.
Right.
But,
well, you know, like Jim, Jim points this out a lot. I mean, you know, we are where we are now because we're 8 years down the road from, you know, of course they're not going to change overnight because our perceptions, because we have 8 years of Bush and Cheney, but back after 9/11, Iran offered to help us.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, by systematically saying that there's a mosque in every state and there's this many Muslims, it makes it much harder to attack us based on a monolithic idea.
Exactly.
But they're just a white Christian nation waiting to put a big wet foot on us. And by saying we have Muslims among us, suddenly you blow up a bomb in any of our cities, the chances of you taking out an innocent Muslim are very high.
Yeah. Well, you think that's why?
That's exactly why I said it.
Right, but don't you think that's also why Bin Laden and Zahiri are, you know, release these
flipping
tapes
out.
Because they're like,
control over the
or the CIA, you know, voice man who works at. I'm not looking at you, Jim. I know you don't do a good Bin Laden, anyways. You haven't worked on it, and I know you could.
Around.
No, maybe it is you.
Well, you know, they've had voice recognition technology for at least 30 years.
Absolutely.
And when they say, yeah, we kind of think it's him, they know damn well it's not.
Not right. Yeah, exactly. And
the last time
he's been dead for 5 years.
The last time Jim thought it was an authentic tape is when he was talking of his love for Whitney Houston and the
B-52s.
Right, yeah. Which sounds exactly like somebody who's like, I'm sick of this.
Dance like an African woman. Dance this mess around.
Yes, get me out of this cave. I'm sick of being a patsy.
She does all 16 dances.
I'm certainly no fan of Osama bin Laden, but like according to the Pakistani military and the French Secret Service, he's been dead since, you know, for 6 years.
And Benazir Bhutto.
No. Right.
Yeah.
Which is what, by the way, what you do. If you do have to take out someone like that, the last thing you do is kill him and then announce it. You kill him and then you keep looking for him. I mean, that's really the plan. You go, we're still looking. We can't find him because the minute you say you got him, the whole, you know, that whole group turns against you.
Well, that's a fun fact you may not know. That's why we don't have a camera in the studio. There's no, you know, ditto cam because I've been dead for several years.
That's true. You've been replaced by the guy who played Paul in the Beatles for a while.
Yes. Yes.
And you look hot. I'm seriously.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, going to Bangkok for that surgery was a great idea.
I auto asphyxiated myself.
Oh,
I
would like
too soon. Too
after
soon.
The failure of my late night show, and not many people know it.
I know. Did you blame me because I was gonna be your musical accompaniment, but I didn't.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
For the record, I have a bit in my act about Michael Hutchinson, about how he wins at life because his death certificate said sexual misadventure.
Oh.
And everybody has to die. Everybody. We all got to go. We're all going to have something written on our death certificate.
You got to go.
That's the way to write it down. And so, David Carradine, you win at life, my friend.
Yeah, if for nothing else, just for my Republican family, it'll be like the Chuckles the Clown episode. They'll have to at the funeral. They'll have to mention.
Right. Why is the coffin shaped like that? You don't want to know.
No.
Why is that rope sticking out of the end?
All right. Oh, no.
Looks like a candle.
Aren't the jaws of life able to get her legs shut?
Yes, right. But they couldn't get the smile off her face. So that's why I had to close casket, because the grin was
too happy.
Well, the glint was... My grandmother tripped and fell. The glint from your teeth made me blind.
There's just one lone flipper sticking out of the bottom of the casket.
You know, seriously. I mean, and by the way, if it's 72, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, more power to him.
Right. Oh, knock yourself out, dude. Because I've always, you know, I think there was a lot of suspicion because of how the news was released that it was not, you know, everybody's like, they're not being straight with us. There's something else going on here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think most of us still think, I don't know, Thai mob hit, something like that. Like, we don't want to finish this movie, so way to
something
clean it up.
Something out of Kill Bill.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and if we do it this way, no one will ever ask any more questions.
Yeah, I don't want to know anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ooh, that's sad. Bye.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
But
it was. When it first came across the wires as natural cause, you're like, 72?
Well, that's what the publicist said.
Yeah.
Well, of course the publicist
they always lie.
If you're 72 and you consume that amount of gin...
Yeah,
you
didn't
die,
want to say, he had a rope around his beep, you know.
Yeah.
The publicist never wants to say that.
Yeah, you know, and that's that's just a race against time. One, you know, you're hoping one choking mechanism kicks off before the other one does.
Yeah.
He
died of an organism.
Choked the wrong chicken. All right.
Yes. Oh.
20 minutes after the hour, we will be back with, sadly, more of this.
Right.
Yeah. The comedian
the spirit.
House Sparks live in
who's
the studio.
Who's led you down this path.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show on the road.
What in the name of holy hell is going on here?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It's the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York with Hal Sparks live in the studio back in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So of course, I'm acting even sluttier than usual
because
I'm all talk.
Yes, you're all safe.
You're 3,000
miles away. And you know I can't rub your shoulders.
Well, yeah, when I'm actually there, I get all flustered.
I know. Look away. You almost never look at me while I'm in the studio. It's adorable.
That's true.
Yeah, it's like, it's so third grade.
I know, you're so cute. I can't stand it.
You're always, and yet you have your compact open, like you're peeking at me through the little mirror. Just like, is he looking? Is he looking? He's looking. Oh, my God, he's looking.
Chris has caught me putting makeup on before I do phone interviews with
congressmen. Yeah, it's true.
For some reason, John Conyers has the same effect on me. I get all girly.
Absolutely. You
all
know,
right.
There's pluses in every quarter. Yes.
26 minutes after the hour. Lots of people want to defend Roseanne from that mean Hal Sparks.
I know.
John Paul in Chapel Hill. Hello, John Paul.
Jean Paul?
Hey.
Yes, go ahead.
He's the waiter from...
I love what you're doing. I love that you let Roseanne come on and talk. Roseanne is the true patriot, and what she says is 100% accurate. The reason she said she didn't want to defend it is because you have to have a lot of very specific information to understand what she's saying. I want to talk about one specific thing. The Open Chemical Physics Journal, published by Bentham, is...
Oops, something went wrong with the line long distance. Oh, well, I'd like to have heard the rest of that. Oh, Chris, look what you did again.
All everybody has to do is go to Alex Jones's site or prisonplanet.com. You can pick up on most of the stuff that she's talking about,
yeah.
I think. Some of it. I mean, obviously.
And also, we have a link to her website.
Great.
So,
and her blog. Yes. Yeah.
She's wrong about Obama. That's
it's interesting how the conspiracy websites suddenly have shifted to right-wing.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
Obama came.
Well, here's the interesting thing.
Right.
I don't disagree with a lot of what Roseanne is saying, especially on the MKUltra side of things in the background of the CIA. No
absolutely
question.
True.
Absolutely
yeah.
True. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I just think that when she pairs that with, there's nothing different between Obama and Bush.
Yeah, that's
no.
Where,
that's where
it,
and I'm like, don't lose credibility like that. I, you know, if you're,
yeah. Cause,
and that's what happens with a lot of the conspiracy stuff is that you're in a good point. We're making a good point that yes, there's something fishy about how MLK and Malcolm X and Medgar Evers and Robert F. Kennedy and John F.
Right.
Kennedy all
right.
Killed in sort of a
yeah.
6-year window.
Right.
There is something to that, and you should
right.
Pay attention
but, right.
To that.
I mean, whether you're on the right or the left, you
right.
Lose me when you start saying there's no difference between George
right.
Bush and Barack Obama.
Exactly. When you're just kind of picking stuff out of the air
right.
And just kind of going, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, please. I actually believe some of what you're talking about, and I would like you to see you actually handle that well.
All right. Stephanie and Madison for that mean Hal Sparks. Hi, Steph.
No, I don't think Hal's mean at all.
Aw, thanks.
No, I called to say that I thought Obama's speech was just terrific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he spoke of the two-state solution and the settlement,
yeah.
And yay.
Yeah,
he
talked about that today.
Yeah, you know, and Matt Rothschild of the Progressive said that this is the Obama he admires.
Absolutely. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Hal Sparks live in the studio as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
But keep talking. All this stuff about
Stephanie Miller
has got me all frisky.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show live from New York City, 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Dan in Seattle writes, I like Roseanne Steph, but her view of Obama seemed to be a mishmash of something she read on an old Nader flyer, combined with the best of Newsmax with Chomsky's name thrown in to sound intellectual.
You've hit the nail on the head, my friend.
All three of them.
All right, Steve in Long Beach wants to defend Roseanne. Hello, Steve.
I don't necessarily want to defend her.
See, everybody backs down,
yeah.
Steve.
No. What I wanted to defend is something that she did say. And it's like, you guys haven't grasped something yet. It's like, she really hasn't done anything definitive.
Who?
He hasn't, Obama.
Of course he has.
No, definitive. Listen to me, Al, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm saying is something like, okay, one of the campaign promises outright.
Uh-huh.
He's made the attempt to move in that direction. And as soon as he makes the attempt, these idiot blue dogs show
right.
up.
Well, there's
yeah, no,
there's,
I agree.
Wait, listen to me now. Okay. Now, he's made the attempt, and everybody sees the attempt being made way more than what Bush ever did.
Right.
That's fine, but the reality still remains. It has not changed. He's not made that change.
Well,
it
one,
has
yeah.
to take place.
Unless you count the Letter Better Act, which
you're right.
he signed
we
into
to,
law as soon as he
I
came in.
The best example that I can think of.
The
best example I can think of is this. For the past 44 years,
mm-hmm.
The past 44 years, the Japanese have had a bullet train.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
Dude,
we
don't
do
even
get. All right.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
you for calling, honey. We do. You're right. We, you know, that's. He talked about high speed rail. How?
And everybody like, ridiculed him for
and
it.
And he said. And he said that exists, just not here.
Right.
You know.
I was just in Taiwan in November, and they have a magnet drive bullet train there. That's Japanese technology. It is completely silent. You can sit there talking to a friend. You have Wi-Fi on the train, by the way, going 110
right.
miles an hour.
Wow.
You can sit there on the train, and you look over to your left out the window, and suddenly you're moving, and you're going 110 miles an hour, and you can get from the top of the island to the bottom, which is basically the length of California, in under 5 hours.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the business benefits of being able to go? And the funny thing is, remember when they went, they're going to put a train from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. Yeah, two of the biggest tourist destinations on the West Coast. Let's just talk about the flowering industry that's available there and every town in between that could operate as stops that would actually make more money and reinvigorate towns.
If you listen to the right wing, it's a high-speed train from Disney World or Disneyland, to it's
right.
a small world right to a whorehouse. That's
right.
what that's all for.
Well, that's their dream,
so
anyways. I mean, most of these guys, is that possible? Can I do that? Can I wander around? It's a small world, get all riled up, and then take a train to a whorehouse? That's really what a Republican thought process is like if you look at the ones that get busted.
Yeah.
I do agree with the caller, though, that in order to get more done, some of the Democrats need to undergo, I believe the process is called a depussification of some sort.
Absolutely. I recommend the MKUltra program might be good.
If
Obama could repurpose some of those things, use the techniques, but just for good. You know what I mean? Just put them in the red chamber in the Fortress of Solitude and blast them with some krypton radiation.
Right.
They need some of somebody reminded me of an old Saturday Night Live sketch. They did an ad for Weekend Update was brought to you by Pussy Whip. It was a dessert.
Right. It's kind of amazing. Like I like Pelosi, but I'm not a fan of Harry Reid, and it kind of drives me crazy how it's that kind of Dick Gephardt, soft kind of pudding version of Democrats that got us in trouble for three decades where nobody went, hey, you know, that's wrong. They went, yeah, but so what? And they went, yeah, I guess you're right.
It's the light, fluffy dessert topping Democrats.
And Obama has proved that you can be both a statesman and kind of, direct and get stuff done, and still get stuff moved through.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be their mutual, like, Harry Reid seems to think it's mutually exclusive.
Yeah. I know. Well, I was saying that he somehow is confused that there is something somewhere in the chain of transferring prisoners, there's some part where we let them
roam the streets. Absolutely.
Yeah, we go let them
like
have
we do in normal court proceedings.
We have, let them have spring break first in Fort Lauderdale.
You have been found guilty of 7 counts of murder, rape, arson, and spying on children while they're playing, and so we're going to give you 10 weeks off, and then we're going to send you to jail.
But don't forget to show up.
Absolutely. Here's your tickets to a small world, and then you get on the train right to the whorehouse, Senator.
Yes.
What? That's awesome.
Here is the president. Some more crunchy audio goodness from Cairo.
This cycle of suspicion and discord must end. I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world. One based on mutual interest and mutual respect. And I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
Yes, or as Karl Rove said, he was constantly critical of the U.S.
What?
Right.
Yeah, with the U.S. when you ran it.
By constantly reaffirming what's best about us is our pluralism, our multiculturalism, and our ideals that include everyone. The whole, bring me, you're tired, you're weak, you're poor.
He talked about confronting extremism but could never bring himself to say terrorism. He had 8 paragraphs mostly devoted to criticizing the United States and then 1 paragraph in which he called upon the Muslim world to confront extremism. He was critical constantly of the United States, attacked the Iraq War. war.
By United States, he means the Bush administration.
Yes. Contrary to our ideals. What good did that do? And spending all of that time basically saying we're bad and weakened his ability in that one paragraph to say, and I hope you'll stand up to extremism as well.
No.
No, these guys equate themselves with America. That's been the biggest problem. The last 8 years, these guys spent the entire time going, we are America, and if you disagree with us, you hate America. I mean, and now they're believing their own propaganda.
And the Al-Qaeda response to it shows that they're terrified.
They're freaked out.
We're weakening the whole justification.
Yep. Absolutely. He basically walked around the Al-Qaeda car and stuck a knife in all the tires and went, have a nice ride.
But you know, Jim, I think the primary question that always comes to our mind when Karl Rove speaks is what?
Why was he in prison trading cigarettes for his life?
Yes, why isn't he in prison trading cigarettes for his life?
Or at least in a cabin with Jeff Gannon someplace, sharing the life they both deserve to live. The love that dare not speak its not name. You
there
know?
You go, spreading that scurrilous rumor again.
They call him Miss Piggy in the underground gay scene in Washington, D.C., and that he goes to all these bacchanals, and he was the one who let, he was involved in...
Allegedly.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the whole thing in context of allegedly.
Sparks is just thinking of an old Queer as Folk script that was rejected at some point.
Yes.
That's what he's thinking.
Having worked on Queer as Folk for 5 years, it's clear that I know no real gay people, and that none of those people know any gay people that may have slept with him. So I'm just saying, allegedly.
You and more of your fictional gay stories.
Exactly. You know what? All these stories were planted in my head by MKUltra. Exactly. So I have excuse. Right.
Sean Hannity on the big speech.
MKUltra.
While much of America was asleep this morning, President Barack Obama delivered a major address in Egypt that was billed as a new beginning. Between the United States and Muslims around the world. But in the end, the president decided to use his time on foreign soil to point the finger directly at America for many of the world's problems, and he faulted the U.S. for the tension that exists between Americans and Muslims. And that is our headline tonight, blaming America first.
He's a stupid poopy head. That's my point.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it sounds like he's reading from a teleprompter. I'm not denying Hannity is amazing, because Hannity to me looks like one of the little rascals that grew up and got a career later, you know what I mean? Like, it's the same Tucker Carlson bow tie situation. Like, dude, fix your hair. Your mom doesn't part it for you anymore. Be an adult for once. I mean,
I'm going to see Sean later tonight, and I'll tell him you said so. Hal,
you probably have to talk to him in the you know, the Charlie Brown teacher kind of thing, because his voice has that kind of he's kind of.
You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do in your honor, Hal? As soon as I see Sean, I'm going to spit on my hand. And I'm going to say your mom missed a part up here, and I'm just going to smooth
his
hair.
Totally, that's great. Interesting. If you notice how Beck he has become in the last like 3 months.
He has.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, he was always, you know, right wing and kind of
crazy.
Yeah, nuts. Yeah. But now he's gotten into these like that Tree of Liberty business and that stuff. He's basically got like all the writers who get kicked off of Beck for not coming up with really
the Glenn
good
Beck
stuff.
Show,
they pushed over to Hannity, who's in sixth place to his own people, which is weird, you know, that you're in competition like that. And now
everyone's got to out-crazy Glenn Beck.
Yeah, his monologues are like these, you know, I'm just following up on something Glenn said.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And then he'll you know, in segment three of the show, he'll do something on stigmata, you know.
Right.
An expose on stigmata.
That's because Fox is the current... the current affair network, and that's
really
what it was built
is.
To do. That's why Bill O'Reilly works on it.
Wow.
Somebody looked at current affair, and it was, you know, Ailes and of course Rupert Murdoch, and they went, this makes money. It's kind of funny fake news. We mix this with real people. We've got some money.
What if it was right wing funny fake news?
And 24 hours.
Yeah.
Caught on
By the
tape.
Way, Chris, here's the really funny part of this is we're on in New York now, so Sean Hannity's probably listening, and his head just exploded.
Well, that's what happens when
do what Glenn does.
When compressed air gets pushed too hard.
I've never cried on TV. I have now. I'm just trying not to cry.
But wah. Yeah.
The president.
I love how they're basically the element of their argument is, if I say it adamantly enough, it must be true.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and enough times.
Yeah, right. The president's speech didn't work. I just told you it didn't, and therefore that's true. That was basically his argument against it. Sorry, nobody's singing Kumbaya. Yeah, that's because that's a Christian little song. Come by here, my lord. Anyway, smart.
Yeah, because the president didn't say, join me on my crusade and sing Kumbaya with me.
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
the Muslim
thanks.
Audience. Yeah, all right. 43 minutes after the hour, back with more with comedian Hal Sparks live in the studio as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Oh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from New York City, 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hal Sparks, comedian extraordinaire, live in the studio with us. And we're lucky because he was out man-whoring around all night last night at the Playboy Mansion.
I beg your pardon. I was there. I was only there till 1:30. I had to be up to get here at 7, so I had to curtail my wool polling activities, as it were. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was there for actually a benefit for the Marijuana Policy Project, the legalization organization, because I'm on their celebrity board with people like Bill Maher and the
right.
like. But I'm a teetotaler. You know, I don't do anything. I've never had drugs. I've never smoked anything.
Me neither.
I don't drink. I never have. Never
oh,
had.
Well, okay, that's where we part ways.
Yes, it's true. Well,
but yeah, I've never smoked pot. I've never done any drugs. Isn't
that
weird?
And so I think I'm a unique voice on their panel because I'm the only guy who sounds like he's not arguing for his own personal use.
Right.
Everybody who goes there goes, pot should be legal. Mainly the second thought is, so I don't get pulled over. You know.
Yeah. When they start every sentence with dude.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
That,
like, dude, you can't make an argument that way, dude.
No, but you know, more and more people are Congresswoman Sanchez, right, Chris? Loretta Sanchez has,
yeah.
You know, talked about this.
Sure.
Jim Webb has talked about
Absolutely.
Supporting the legalization of marijuana.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's absurd that in the economic situation we're in, but most of the time even, we're spending upwards of $30,000 to $50,000 a year to incarcerate a personal use pot arrest. And many of these guys get arrested and put in jail longer than rapists.
Right.
That's the ironic part. Like, you look at, you know, really harsh crimes, and they'll have a 6-7 year cap on them, and then, but because pot is, you know, linked with heroin and cocaine, these guys stay in jail for 10 years, 12 years. Right. I was going to distribute because no, he's just a big, heavy set guy who smokes a lot of weed, you know, and so I would never do it. I have no interest in doing it. I think drugs and alcohol actually give with one hand and take with two. That's my own personal feeling. But I don't believe that it should be outlawed in such mm-hmm. a way that it costs us all money and resources and people's lives.
If they outlaw making booze, I'm gonna have a hoochah factory.
Well, they did
in my
for
house.
A while, and
yeah.
how long did you
yeah,
know?
Look how that
how
went.
Yeah, exactly. Just all it led to was Tommy guns in the streets.
Yeah. yeah. I won't have time for show prep, Chris. I'll be like, Mama's got to make her moonshine.
Right, yeah, right. She's going to have a still in the actual studio.
Yeah, you're going to have a basement full of jugs with three X's on
right.
the side.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll hold it with one finger over your shoulder to take a swig.
All right, Hal Sparks, enough with the pretending you were at the Playboy Mansion for some sort of deep political issue. Tell me what else was going on there.
Oh, it's pretty...
On the man-whoring front.
It was, you know what, honestly, this one was a bit of a sausage fest. The interesting thing was because it was, you know, the MP. So I was like, there's just going to be weed, and then it's not, and so everybody's trying to smoke the foliage.
Yeah.
It's, you know, but, like, I was there 2 weeks ago for Wounded Warriors had a benefit. I did a benefit with them the night before at the Comedy Store, and then they had a party at the Playboy Mansion to raise money.
Uh-huh.
And that one was spectacular.
Uh-huh.
And for two reasons. One was they had painted women, the big painted women
oh,
thing.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Naked women who are actually, the ironic part is that there are women.
At the Playboy Mansion?
Yes.
What?
There are women walking around in lingerie who look more naked than the painted women because the painting is so good. You're
right.
Like, wait, is she? That's clothes. No, that isn't. All right. You have to get really close. Of course, after the pool and a lot of pictures, it starts to wipe off, and that's where the fun
after
begins.
The pool?
Yeah.
They get pushed in the pool?
Yeah. Yeah, or they dive in on their own accord,
okay.
I think, many. After they're sick of walking around with sticky, crusty paint for a while, you know. Like they were doing their apartment and got called to a party.
Right.
I was doing a wall in my bedroom, and then I got asked to go to this thing.
How is it that you swing every benefit you do ends up at the Playboy Mansion?
I don't know, but it's
How
awesome.
Are you able to swing
I'm
that?
Just saying, Marlita Leslie and Associates PR deserves every dime I give them. They are the greatest ever. And if you don't believe me, ask Tim Allen and Jim Carrey. They're awesome.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
So I love them, and I hug them every time I see them. But
Aww.
It was actually, you know what the great thing was?
I went once, and I got picked up on by Frank Stallone, and I've never been back.
Wow. Wow. Like, was it far from over? Anyways, hey! All right.
All right. Bethany in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Obama speech. Hi, Bethany.
Oh, good morning. I wanted to complain. I was watching CNN. I missed the... I'm so sorry that I missed the speech than, you know, in its entirety, because I've heard more of it on your show than watching 3 hours of news yesterday.
Right. Well, it's on YouTube,
sad.
By the way. You can watch the whole thing. It's 55 minutes long, longest speech of his presidency so far.
Yeah, and you know, CNN, they were like Fox News. I couldn't get over it. Yeah. I was so upset. I had Rick Sanchez on. I never saw the show, but it was so funny. He sounded, you know, that he threw the intel under the bus and, you know, all these talking points. And I'm thinking, is this Fox News? I had to do the little info button. And then he had experts on, Middle East experts. It was so funny. They just
Wait a minute, Stephanie, did someone just come in behind you?
Yes.
20% of the population. Why are they giving them a voice on
Bethany, I have to dump you now. A much bigger name just came in. But thank you for calling about your little CNN show. Who cares about that? Ed Schultz is here.
Wow, really?
Yeah, hey, Ed. People for me, that's a first.
Hey, Ed.
I just saw him walk by my window, and I furiously wrote, look, I wrote Ed, and I, like, motioned to my people.
Ed, it says Ed question
my
mark.
My people are like, get him
been
in
questioning
here.
My whole career.
Ed.
How are you?
I'm good, honey. Congratulations.
Well, okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
I didn't want to get your inbox all jammed. I knew you were getting tons of email and
fan
mail.
I know you're
mail
rooting for us. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But we speak, Chris, you can confirm to Mr. Schultz, we speak kindly of him and his show every day, don't
every
we?
Every day. Every
Absolutely.
Single day.
And Ed, by
every
the way.
Every day. Can I buy some more spots?
By the way, Ed, if you need anybody to come up with more puns on your name for them to use for segments on your show, let me know. Because we'll have a spitballing session, you know. You know, better dead than Ed and that kind of stuff. And you can do tons
red on the head like a blank on a dog. I got you.
Yeah, absolutely. Ed on the head like a blank on a dog. Yeah. We can work him in.
Listen, hey, he has well-paid television writers. He doesn't need our amateur ramblings.
Oh, really?
He is at MSNBC. It's a labor of love over there. And God bless you for it, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I'm enjoying it.
How is it? How is it being a big TV guy?
Well, now, wait a minute now.
Come on.
No, look, I
you've gone Hollywood. Admit it.
Yeah. That's right. It's exciting to walk into 30 Rock every day and have an opportunity to get on and gig it up, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's when the lights go on and the cameras are moving, I've said, holy smokes, I better start figuring this thing out. I could never envision myself leaving radio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I've made that mistake.
You know, and I do have, I think, a pretty good insight from the audience as to where the hot buttons are.
Right.
And we just got to transition that audience from radio into television and gain on it. It takes time, but we're doing okay.
I think you're doing great, honey. I'm so proud of you.
Ed, what do you think the next kind of big wave of stuff is going to come from? I mean, I know obviously people are going to follow Justice Sotomayor and those kind of things, but what do you think is the next story on the...
You know, I had John Harwood on last night from Washington, and he did an interview with Max Baucus and Chuck Grassley.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They both looked like they belonged in a funeral home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't believe these guys know. I don't believe they've got a pulse of what the people want. It's single payer.
Right. Yeah.
It's health care, and I don't think the Senate is got their act together on where the people are. And now they're talking about taxing health care benefits. That's going to be a non-starter. The public option is going to be tough enough.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to get this done at Patriot Act speed.
We were just saying that earlier, that the people are more liberal than our Democrats
are.
Absolutely.
You know, they're
the only ones that put them there.
These guys are partying
like
it's 1992.
They forget who be putting them in there. I don't mean to be liking that. You know?
These guys dress and act like it's 1992, like the health care reform was just torpedoed 10 minutes ago.
I'm waiting for the 1972 walking suit to break out at any time.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't know what's happening.
Are you still amazed by how much the Republicans will impale themselves? Like, they're doing badly enough, and then you're like, they're not really going to call the first Hispanic nominee stupid and racist. And then you're like, I guess they are. They got nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
They have absolutely nothing to lose. They're just looking for a few more Joe the Plumbers.
But yeah, they're like a shock jock who's looking for ratings. Like, he needs a ratings bump, so they're just going to say stuff to get themselves in the news.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Listen, we're coming up against a hard break.
A profit break. Absolutely.
So let's get to the most important question. When am I coming on the show?
Whenever you want to.
Okay.
Me too,
whenever
Ed.
Whenever you
too.
Want to.
Right.
I would love that, Ed.
Right. I don't control it. I can tell you that.
I'm going to put the screws to him. Thank you, Ed Schultz.
Will you come on the phone?
I thought you were
Larry King bound. I thought you were Larry King's mama.
I'm happy to cheat on
You'll
Larry with
mama.
You.
I'll cheat on
Larry any day.
All right, I'm all about it.
Thank you, House Sparks. See you Monday on
She'd be Larry King, girlfriend. I know what that is.